He was an imposing man, quiet and dignified, and a great lover of books. In his small library were works of poetry and philosophy and novels by such writers as Somerset Maugham. Every day he would read the newspaper closely, following the course of the events around the world. In the evening, his best friend, Archdeacon Hay, the Anglican pastor who lived on the other side of the hill, would come over and sit on Donald's veranda, and together they would expound on the problems of Jamaica. Donald's wife, Daisy, was from the parish of St. Elizabeth. Her maiden name was Ford, and her father had owned a small grocery store. She was one of three sisters, and she was renowned for her beauty. At the age of 11, the twins won scholarships to a boarding school near the north coast called St. Hilda's. It was an old Anglican private school established for the daughters of English clergy, property owners, and overseers. From St. Hilda's, they applied and were accepted to University College in London. Not long afterwards, Joyce went to a 21st birthday party for a young English mathematician named Graham. He stood up to recite a poem and forgot his lines, and Joyce became embarrassed for him, even though it made no sense for her to feel embarrassed because she did not know him at all. Joyce and Graham fell in love and got married. They moved to Canada. Graham was a math professor. Joyce became a successful writer and family therapist. They had three sons and built a beautiful house on a hill, off in the countryside. Graham's last name is Gladwell. He is my father, and Joyce Gladwell is my mother. That is the story of my mother's path to success, and it isn't true. It's not a lie in the sense that the facts are made up, but it is false in the way that telling the story of Bill Gates without mentioning the computer at Lakeside is false, or accounting for Asian math prowess without going back to the rice paddies is false. It leaves out my mother's many opportunities and the importance of her cultural legacy. In 1935, for example, when my mother and her sister were four, a historian named William M. Macmillan came to visit Jamaica. He was a professor at the University of Witwatersrand in Johannesburg, South Africa. Macmillan was a man before his time. He was deeply concerned with the social problems of South Africa's black population, and he came to the Caribbean to make the same argument he had made back home in South Africa. Chief among Macmillan's concerns was Jamaica's educational system. Formal schooling, if you could call what went on in the wooden barn next door to my grandparents' house formal schooling, went only to 14 years of age. Jamaica had no public high schools or universities. Those with academic inclinations took extra classes with the head teacher in their teenage years and, with luck, made it into a teacher's college. Those with broader ambitions had to somehow find their way into a private school and from there to a university in the United States or England. But scholarships were few and far between, and the cost of private schooling prohibitive for all but a privileged few. The bridge from the primary schools to high school, Macmillan later wrote in a blistering critique of England's treatment of its colonies entitled Warning from the West Indies, is narrow and insecure. The school system did nothing for the humblest classes. He went on, if anything, these schools are a factor deepening and sharpening social distinctions. If the government did not give its people opportunities, he warned, there would be trouble.